Office Media Networks. This is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Sharing the stage in Las Vegas. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It's Wednesday, October 14. Welcome aboard. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The first Democratic presidential primary debate was held last night. Was there a clear winner? We'll have analysis in just a moment.
Planned Parenthood is adopting a revised policy about payment for fetal tissue used for research. The group is responding to undercover videos.
Former NBA player and reality TV star Lamar Odom is reportedly fighting for his life after being found unresponsive in a Nevada brothel.
And the campaign clock continues to tick for Vice President Joe Biden.
You know, at a certain point, political world enjoy the novelty of will he or won't he kind of situation. But at a certain point, they grow tired of it and they say, okay, finally make up your mind. We need to know, should we be supporting you? Should we need to jump on board with the Hillary Clinton campaign? Where, you know, is it fair to the party to leave this sort of unsettled for so long?
Peter Baker, White House correspondent at the New York Times, explains the complications behind the Biden decision about running for president. He's here in about 25 minutes. The first debate featuring the Democratic candidates for president was held last night in Las Vegas, hosted by CNN. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton went on offense on gun control, foreign policy, and her email scandal.
This committee is basically an arm of the Republican National Committee. It is a partisan vehicle, as admitted by the House Republican Majority Leader, Mr. McCarthy, to drive down my poll numbers. Big surprise.
Meanwhile, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders said he didn't want to discuss Mrs. Clinton's private server issues, which have dogged her campaign for months.
Nobody up here, certainly no Republican, can address the major crises facing our country unless millions of people begin to stand up to the billionaire class that has so much power over our economy and our political life.
While Mrs. Clinton and Mr. Sanders were center stage, the other three candidates, former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley, former Virginia Senator Jim Webb, and Lincoln Chafee, a former governor and senator from Rhode Island, also asserted themselves. Mr. O'Malley pointed to his record.
I have learned how to be an effective leader, whether it was raising the minimum wage, making our public schools the best in America, passing marriage equality, the DREAM Act, and comprehensive gun safety legislation.
Mr. Chafee used his opening statement to note that he hasn't suffered a scandal, a direct shot at Mrs. Clinton. Mr. Sanders went after Mrs. Clinton first, though, criticizing her Iraq war vote, saying it was the worst foreign policy blunder in the history of this country. Writing for National Journal today, by the way, Ron Fournier writes, Hillary Clinton won. She won because she's a strong debater. She won because Bernie Sanders is not. She won because the first Democratic presidential debate focused on liberal policies and not her email scandal or character. Mr. Fournier says the embattled frontrunner won herself a news cycle or two because she stretched the truth and played to a friendly audience. Get some further analysis now from Olivier Knox, chief Washington correspondent at Yahoo News. He's with us live this morning on the T-Mobile hotline. Olivier, who'd you think won this thing?
Well, I think Hillary has to be considered the clear winner. She didn't have any obvious stumbles. She did, as Ron Fournier points out, get to talk about something other than her email controversy. No one else on that stage really landed any major body blows on her. So, you know, if you look at her from the point of view of the Democratic primary voter, that's the audience. She's going to remain the front runner. I don't think this debate changed anything.
Yeah, I do think it hurt Mr. Sanders at least a little bit because he seemed to struggle with answers about, at least in my opinion, capitalism, and then gun control seemed to be a problem for him.
Well, I think there's another way to look at that too, which is that Bernie Sanders' problem is electability. It's the divide between people who think that he's authentic and people who think that he's eccentric.
Yeah.
People who think that a socialist could never win office. I thought he looked surprised at how early and how hard Hillary Clinton hit him last night.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was notable as well. She really right out of the gate, she really started to land punches even before the exchange on Iraq. And I do think that while his positions have surprisingly broad appeal, you hear it on the road, you hear it from Democrats, you hear it from independents, I don't think he had a fundamental answer for how a socialist gets to the White House.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. So in between watching the debate and catching glimpses of my Mets last night, I did see Mrs. Clinton with what I thought was one possibly cringeworthy moment when she claimed she went to Wall Street before the crash and told them to, quote, cut it out. I thought, really? Cut it out?
Yeah, there were a couple of problems for Hillary, but none of them are problems with Democratic primary voters. You know, she tried to explain away her rather sizable policy shifts. You know, her the way she used to call the massive trade deal with 11 Pacific economies the gold standard, and now she opposes it.
Mm-hmm.
She led the process on Keystone. She opposes it now. All these sort of policy adjustments, you know, including one that the president himself made, of course, on same-sex marriage. I thought it was a little bit strange for her to say, you know, well, I have new information, and so I've changed my mind. On the trade deal, it is true that the one thing she talked about in the past as being a potential reason to oppose it, which is to say insufficient currency protections, there are no currency protections. So I guess she can make a plausible argument there.
Okay.
But I did think there were a couple of moments where she was a little bit wobbly. I did think it was interesting. She also told us why she was not running for president last night, and I thought that was kind of interesting, where she said she's not asking for people's vote just because of her last name, and she's not asking for people's vote just because she's a woman. I thought those were both interesting moments as well.
We're speaking with Olivier Knox, chief Washington correspondent at Yahoo News. He's with us live this morning. Okay, so following the debate now, how do you think this impacts Vice President Joe Biden's decision about whether or not to get in the race?
Well, what I would say is I didn't hear a lot of room for Vice President Biden in that debate. I didn't hear there's not a lot of space there. Who would he be taking votes from? Well, we think it's mostly Hillary Clinton. And I've generally been bearish on the VP getting into the race just because it's getting late. He'd have to build one heck of an organization really quickly just to get on the ballot in a lot of early states. But, you know, Hillary Clinton didn't have any major stumbles. Again, when you look at the intended audience of Democratic primary voters, I didn't hear a lot of space for him to do it. He could still decide to do it.
Right.
I didn't hear an obvious, you know, oh, yeah, we need Joe Biden.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for a few minutes as always, Olivier. Appreciate it. Olivier Knox, chief Washington correspondent at Yahoo News. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Men, if you're like me, you appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. The sort of shave that cuts clean without the burn. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack? When you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price. And if saving money and a clean shave isn't incentive enough, Harry's will give you their starter set, complete with a razor, three of their world-famous blades, and shaving cream for just $15. And shipping is always free. We'll also give you $5 off your first order. Our way of saying thank you for trying us. How are we able to save you all this money and still give you the best shave you'll ever enjoy? By owning the factory that manufactures them. That's how. So go to Harry's.com right now and enter code 1313 at checkout. That's Harry's.com, code 1313.
Thanks for being with us. The U.S. and Russia will hold a third round of talks today, trying to avoid conflicts between their military air campaigns in Syria. The announcement came yesterday by Defense Secretary Ash Carter. He called on Russia to change its failing strategy and until then act professionally and abide by, quote, basic safety procedures.
We're not able at this time to associate ourselves more broadly with Russia's approach in Syria because it is wrongheaded and strategically short-sighted.
Russia's defense ministry said its warplanes had carried out 88 sorties, by the way, in Syria in the past day. Planned Parenthood says it will maintain programs at some of its clinics that make fetal tissue available for research, but will cover the costs itself rather than accepting any reimbursement. The organization is responding to anger over undercover videos. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Activists who recently released a series of covertly filmed videos have contended that Planned Parenthood officials sought profits from their programs, providing post-abortion fetal tissues to researchers. Planned Parenthood said the videos were deceptively edited and has denied wrongdoing. The man who led the video effort is calling the new approach by Planned Parenthood an admission of guilt. He says if the money received for baby body parts was truly legitimate reimbursement, why make a new policy? Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. It's 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Hillary Clinton emerged unscathed from the Democratic Party's first debate for the 2016 presidential campaign, cutting a calm and confident figure as she sparred with her rivals for the White House. Clinton took on Bernie Sanders over gun control.
It was pretty straightforward to me that he was going to give immunity to the only industry in America. Everybody else has to be accountable, but not the gun manufacturers. And we need to stand up and say enough of that.
Sanders also delivered a spirited performance.
Our campaign finance system is corrupt and is undermining American democracy. Millionaires and billionaires are pouring unbelievable sums of money into the political process.
Political analysts say both Clinton and Sanders emerged as winners. Israel began setting up checkpoints in Palestinian areas of annexed East Jerusalem today as it struggles to stop a wave of attacks that have raised fears of a full-scale uprising. Secretary of State John Kerry says it's a volatile situation.
What we need is to have leadership that condemns the tit-for-tat, that is determined to reach out across difficult lines, bring people to the table.
A third Israeli was killed yesterday when a Palestinian attacker rammed his car into pedestrians. Statements by five Baltimore officers charged in the high-profile death of a black man injured in police custody have been made admissible in their criminal trials. A judge yesterday found that two of the six officers charged in the death of Freddie Gray had made their statements without compulsion to internal investigators. The Navy's top officer says service is considering extending paternity leave for new fathers. The Navy currently awards married fathers up to 10 days of paid leave upon the birth of a child. And more good news for red wine drinkers. A two-year study found that a glass of red wine every evening with dinner may offer heart health perks to people with type 2 diabetes. Researchers say the wine helped improve cardiac health by modestly increasing levels of so-called good cholesterol while lowering overall cholesterol.
All right. Those studies always seem to be out there, don't they?
Yes.
It's got to be something to it at some point.
Grapes are good.
There's fire. Yeah, fruit. Grapes are good. I like that. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Time now for a retirement update, and it's brought to you by TIAA CREF. Learn more at TIAA.org. October tends to be a month for preparations, especially for the holidays, right? But it can also be prep time financially. Janelle Marte, personal finance writer for The Washington Post, says in between raking leaves, picking apples, and carving pumpkins, there are some financial to-dos to tackle this month. Janelle, like what?
For people who graduated this year, October is a month when it's time to pay your student loans. It's not very pleasant, but if you are smart about it and you really look at your options, you can come up with a payment plan that you can afford. So the advice there for people is really to take a look at what are the options? So look for any income-based repayment plans that you might qualify for. If you are working for a nonprofit or if you're working for the federal government, you might, or even a local government, you might qualify for some public service loan forgiveness. That's a break that you could get after 10 years of making eligible payments. Bottom line, make sure you look at what's available to you, look at income-based plans, look at consolidating, and make sure you know what the consequences will be.
Got it. All right. You will also point out, file your taxes, right? If you got an extension, this is your month.
Oh, yes, and we're coming close to that one. So essentially, if you filed for an extension, which was pretty easy, you got another six-month break, but now it's coming up. October 15th is the deadline for returning in those income tax returns. As of late September, people who did get extensions, about a quarter of them hadn't filed yet. So make sure you get the paperwork in. And make sure that you, as you would on April 15th, make sure that you are looking to make sure that you are filing for all of the breaks that you qualify for.
Got it. We're speaking with Janelle Marte, personal finance writer at the Washington Post, about ways to get ahead financially in October. All right, so what about holiday shopping here?
Oh, I know. So again, we're not quite at the holidays, but they're getting close. They're going to sneak up on you. You know, we're pretty much around 9 to 10 weeks away from the bulk of the holidays. So you want to take advantage. If you see a sale for something that you think your friend would like or that your kids would like, buy it now. Take advantage of sales as they come. We're starting to see some sales here and there on clothing. Start saving now for the holidays. If you are, let's say, you know, the reality is that a lot of the biggest discounts, we still won't see them until Black Friday and beyond. That doesn't mean that you can't set aside the money now.
Got it. All right, so here's one that's not a whole lot of fun, but that's research health plans.
Yes, we are getting to the point of open enrollment. That will begin later this month for a lot of companies. So now's the time to start thinking about it.
Thanks, Janelle. Janelle Marte, personal finance writer for The Washington Post. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You always want to look great, but don't have the time or the patience to go shopping. With Trunk Club, you never have to set foot in the mall again. Trunk Club takes the hassle out of shopping by shipping you a trunk of clothes that fit perfectly and make you look like $1 million with all the new fall styles. At trunkclub.com/morning, all you have to do is answer simple questions about your style, preferences, and size, and then you are assigned an expert stylist. They curate clothes from the best premium brands, and you approve what you like. Just like that, a trunk arrives on your doorstep filled with hand-picked clothes that are perfect for you. Try them on, keep what you like, and easily return what you don't in their prepaid trunk. This is not a subscription service. You only pay for the clothes you keep. No hidden charges, just great clothes. And right now, their entire styling service is free. Even the shipping. You only pay for the clothes you keep. To take advantage, go to trunkclub.com/morning. One more time, that's trunkclub.com/morning for a trunk filled with clothes you'll love wearing.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday, October 14. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Democrats hit the stage for their first debate. Planned Parenthood makes a policy adjustment in response to videos. Former NBA player and reality TV star Lamar Odom is fighting for his life after being found unresponsive in a Nevada brothel. The two American League Division Series will end today with a decisive Game 5. Cubs advance. Mets and Dodgers settle up tomorrow. The Yukon Mac and Cheese Kid apologizes. And the flight attendant trying to inspire you. That story in about 20 minutes. Even though CNN kept a lectern available in case he filed the papers, there was no surprise appearance last night at the first Democratic presidential debate from Vice President Joe Biden, who has not yet made a decision about whether he'll make a third run for the White House. More from Peter Baker, White House correspondent at the New York Times. Peter, this has been going on for weeks.
It's been about 74 days, something like that, since the kind of full-on vigil started. And, you know, I think we haven't seen quite this extended public agonizing by a major political figure running for president or thinking about running for president probably since Mario Cuomo back in 1991. And it's everybody's waiting for Joe, and I think even Joe is getting a little tired of some of the attention. I think the other day when satellite trucks and reporters showed up in his hometown of Wilmington for his daughter's, granddaughter's, cross-country match and things like that.
Jeez. All right. So he seems, though, to have, I don't know, a little more sway about holding out for a decision than, say, Cuomo, who I know is popular, but he was a governor. But Biden's been vice president for 8 years now. He seems to carry a bigger stick. I don't know.
Well, and what his advisors hope is that the public will be more patient than the pundits and the press and the political activists, especially because they know that what's really driving this decision is his own family's issues. You know, his son Beau died earlier this year. They're still in deep grief about that. There's the issue of how his grandkids and daughter-in-law are getting along, and I think with all that, it's made a very human story for the public, and his advisors think that if he ends up getting into the race, that will mitigate any cost to waiting it out.
Right. All right. So it's somewhere along the line, either kind of mentally or physically, there's been a pros and cons list, I presume. But what's taking so long? I know the family is a big consideration here, but surely they've mapped out some sort of pros and cons list.
Well, I think, yeah, sure. I mean, I think the pros are for Vice President Biden, who's run twice before for president, that, you know, that this seems to be a moment when his experience all comes to bear. You know, Will has spent eight years as Obama's vice president. He would want to run as the, you know, guarantor of that record. And he looks at Hillary Clinton, who's obviously had political problems all summer, partly because of the email issue, she's running away from President Obama on some pretty key issues, including trade, Syria, Ukraine, immigration, and so on. And so you'd have a pretty striking contest there between two people who actually sat next to each other for a long time in the Situation Room.
All right. We're speaking with Peter Baker, White House correspondent at the New York Times. His piece is called Campaign Clock Ticks on a Decision by Biden. You point out, too, or there was a strategist in your story who did, that said intrigue can easily turn into fatigue.
Yeah, I think that's true. You know, at a certain point, you know, the political world enjoyed the novelty of will he or won't he kind of situation, but at a certain point they grow tired of it and they say, okay, finally make up your mind. We need to know, should we be supporting you? Do we need to jump on board with the Hillary Clinton campaign? Where, you know, is it fair to the party to leave this sort of unsettled for so long, especially now with filing deadlines coming up?
If he wanted to, could he wait into November, December, or beginning of next year?
He really could. I mean, there'd be some cost to pay. Starting at the end of this month, you begin to see filing deadlines for certain states come up. You know, his staff, his advisors have done some research on this. That with several of the states, they think they could get away with simply declaring that he could be a candidate, that would be enough to preserve his options of being on the ballot rather than having to declare outright. That might give him a little bit more time to make up his mind. They could, of course, you know, miss some ballot deadlines and simply try later to either litigate it or win without delegates from those particular states. That's a harder road to take for a candidate who's already got an uphill shot against a pretty well-funded and organized frontrunner.
You mentioned 1984 when he considered running. And tell that story. He actually gave paperwork to his sister.
He did, yeah. So this is not the first time that we've had sort of a waiting game for him. Back in 1984, he was a relatively young senator, kind of a new face as far as presidential politics was concerned, and some of his advisors, including Pat Caddell, his pollster, were urging him to run. And Biden wrote about this in his President Biden wrote about this in his memoir. He said, "I didn't want to run. I told him I don't want to run," but he was convinced to go ahead and sign the papers as a contingency anyway, just in case he decided to get in. So he leaves the papers with his sister Valerie, who's one of his closest political advisors, as well as obviously very close personally, and went off on vacation. But by the time his plane landed, he called up Valerie and said, "Look, don't file the papers," and decided not to jump in.
Thanks, Peter. Peter Baker, White House correspondent at the New York Times. 20 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. A couple of droopy-eyed Met fans with you here.
At least,
Mike,
yes.
Mike Gavin and myself. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. So, thanks to the Weather Channel, Gordon, we should all be on the lookout for YOLO this winter. The network has unveiled 26 names for potential snowstorms. Some of the storms that could be wreaking havoc with your school day, work day, or holiday travel include Kayla, Goliath, Ajax, Delphi, and Regis. And if we get to the letter Y, and let's hope we don't, you can blame your canceled flight on YOLO, which, in case you didn't know, is the popular acronym for You Only Live Once. Now, if you're thinking that sounds a little bit juvenile, that's no coincidence. The Bozeman, Montana High School Latin class helped contribute to this year's list. And while some have derided the naming of winter storms by the Weather Channel as a marketing ploy, the network says it's just about better communication, saying that it's easier to talk to people about big storms when they have names.
I don't care if it's a marketing thing or not, but I'm good with that. By the Weather Channel, it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, the only problem is that they're the only ones who do it.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit confusing.
Oh, it's a monopoly. We got to break up the Weather Channel.
They're the only ones talking about the storms with the names, and everybody else is just talking about, you know, the big storm or whatever. So, yeah.
So I do have a question for you, though.
Yeah.
Ajax.
Yes.
The cleaning agent.
Right.
Right. But also the popular name of a world-famous soccer club from the Netherlands.
Oh, I'm sure
which
that's
is pronounced Ajax. So I want some clarification for the Weather Channel. Could possibly the A storm be called Ajax or Ajax? I need clarification.
All right. Only if you're doing the weather that day will it be called Ajax.
And let's hope, by the way, it ends with whatever the name is,
right,
the letter A.
Right, exactly. Yeah, right. If we get to YOLO, then it's been a really bad winter.
Might not be hearing much from us.
And, Gordon, if you've ever lost your phone for an extended period of time, you know what a harrowing experience it can be. The sweaty palms, the chest pains, the unrelenting feeling that someone's going to beat you to that snarky debate tweet that just popped up in your head. Few of us, though, ever involve the authorities, and for good reason. Police say a Middletown, Connecticut woman is facing charges after drunkenly calling 911 when she couldn't find her phone. Police responded to her apartment earlier this month after she reported that she couldn't find her cell phone and then hung up. Responding officers said she appeared to be heavily intoxicated and that when asked about the phone, she said she'd found it and was all set. When officers then told her that she couldn't call 911 for the purpose of finding her cell phone, she allegedly responded by saying, "Whatever." Police charged the woman with falsely reporting an incident and misdialing 911.
Wow.
And by the way, this is not the first time. She apparently has dialed 911 like 75 times in the last year for dumb things like this, which makes me think, you know what? Who cares if she loses her phone? She's obviously got a phone.
Good job. Yeah.
She's got a landline. Right. So the cell phone's not that big a deal.
Speaking of law-breaking drunks in Connecticut who say idiotic things.
Yeah.
This UConn mac and cheese student,
yes,
Luke Gotti, has issued a public apology. Did you happen to see that?
On YouTube.
And it was pretty. I thought it was pretty sincere also.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he did the right thing. He apologized to everybody, made no excuses, saying he was completely in the wrong. He apologized to the manager of that,
right,
you know, that cafeteria, the students, the university, his family.
Yeah. And that's all he can do. And then we did a story when you were out the other day that there's actually a GoFundMe page that has been set up to raise money for the cafeteria workers to sort of send them on a night out or something to sort of give them a break from the students because of after this incident. So it's a, you know, maybe it'll end well after all.
Well, I think the kid absolutely did the right thing. So here's hoping things go better for him. 12 minutes now in front of the hour.
While most video surveillance solutions capture and store hours of nothing, CUDA Eye by Barracuda Networks only captures video when something happens. Once captured on camera, the video evidence is immediately encrypted and sent to the cloud for safe storage and easy retrieval from any web browser or mobile device. With CUDA Eye, there's no network configuration or software to install. Just plug one or more cameras into your network to better protect your business. Don't get caught with nothing. Do something about it. Check out CUDAEye.com. That's CUDAEye.com.
8 minutes before the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the U.S. and Russia will hold a third round of talks today aimed at avoiding conflicts between their military air campaigns in Syria. Defense Secretary Ash Carter says Russia is not hitting ISIS targets.
Our counter-ISIL fight will proceed unchanged as we continue to urge Russia to change its failing strategy. In the meantime, Russia must act professionally in the skies over Syria and abide by basic safety procedures.
President Vladimir Putin claims jet fighters are carrying out strikes against terrorist groups. Lamar Odom is hospitalized in Las Vegas after being found unresponsive at the Love Ranch in Crystal, Nevada. Dennis Hoff is the owner of the brothel where the 35-year-old former NBA player was found.
He started throwing up. He was still alive. Ambulance came. Police came. Took him to the Prump Hospital, Prump, Nevada. They immediately said, this is not looking good.
Odom has had drug problems in the past, although the specifics of this incident remain unclear. A jury in Milwaukee has sided with two police officers in a civil case that claimed a gun store bore some responsibility in the illegal sale of a gun that was later used in their shooting. Authorities say the shooter, a minor at the time, had paid a friend to illegally purchase a gun for him at Badger Guns. Wildfires burning on prairie land in five states have destroyed more than a dozen homes and killed livestock in the past few days. As a region normally accustomed to crisp temperatures and even snow this time of year gets a taste of California-style drought, fires with volcano-like smoke plumes visible for miles have broken out from the Rockies almost to the Mississippi River. And high school students get prepped for college through courses, tests, and applications, but in other ways, they feel they aren't prepared. 60% of college freshmen in a Harris poll say they wish they had more help getting emotionally ready for college. More than half say they were having a difficult time making new friends and struggling to feel as though they belonged.
Get your nose out of your phones. There's tip number one.
Oh, good advice.
6 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. An airplane might be the last place you can find inspiration sometimes, unless you fly American Airlines, where 22-year-old Taylor Tippett is one of the flight attendants. ABC News has the story of her leaving empowering messages on little slips of paper for passengers to discover in their seats. She's been doing it for over a year now. The simple messages, with words like, "Your joy is always worth it," and "May your weeds be wildflowers," are part of an ongoing photo series that she calls Words from the Window Seat. She puts them on her blog, which is called A Travelin' Lady. She says at the end of the day, these may just be silly notes on the window, but if they can find hope to fight or smile and realize they're not alone, it's all worth it. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
Are you predictable? When was the last time you surprised someone with something totally unexpected? At ProFlowers, we think predictability is boring. So we're making it easy for you to be unpredictable by offering our best-selling 100 blooms for just $19.99. Plus, we're giving away a free glass vase with every order. But hurry, because this incredible deal ends this Friday. Go to ProFlowers.com, click on the blue radio microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 5151. That's ProFlowers.com, secret code 5151.